officer who purchases or refinances their home with Alabama Home Mortgage will receive a $500 gift card at closing. You heard me right, $500. We have had the honor of working with countless hometown heroes. You should be the next. What are you waiting for? Just the other day, a Montgomery police officer refinanced his mortgage with Alabama Home Mortgage. He lowered his interest rate by an entire point and received $10,000 in cash to pay off credit card debt. In addition, he skipped 2 months' mortgage payments. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Call Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. You deserve the best. Call the mortgage company that appreciates you. Call Alabama Home Mortgage right now. Madeline and I are standing by, ready to assist you. Call 567-4223 or visit us at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Grammy-nominated Joe Bonamassa, hailed as one of the world's greatest guitar players. Rock Titan Joe Bonamassa, live in concert on Thursday, February 13th at the MPAC. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Joe Bonamassa. Don't miss your chance to experience the guitar event of the year.
If you're like me, you probably have a couple of shoeboxes full of old home movies or VHS tapes your dad took when you were a kid, right? And you've been wanting to convert them to DVD to preserve them, but don't want to ship them off to an out-of-town company. Well, you don't have to. Dan Black Studios here in Montgomery can convert them for you in their facility. Dan Black's been in business for over 35 years, and he does a great job at an affordable price. Call Dan Black today at 334-279-6036.
Jones Brothers is so much more than roofs. Improving the look and energy efficiency of your home is easier than you think. New windows from Jones Brothers are not only beautiful, but can save you real money. Vinyl siding is a great way to update the look of your home and save on your energy bills. With Cedar Ridge composite siding from Jones Brothers, your home will be 4 times more insulated than with ordinary siding. Call Jones Brothers today for a free estimate. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
Saving usually means lowering your expectations, settling for less. But no one ever got less and thought, good for me. Now you can save on all your favorite stuff without giving anything up. Surf, swipe, and stream as much as you want with WOW Internet for only $34.99 a month. With our 2-year price lock guarantee, these are savings you can count on. And when you sign up today at WOWWay.com, get a $100 Visa prepaid reward card. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement. Auto pay and paperless billing. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for news and views from 9 till noon. Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. This hour of News and Views brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. Of course, they are an equal housing lender. Look who it is. Hey, Jack Campbell.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I'm just having a time with this microphone. I mean, with this headphone.
You're still not getting anything?
I'm not getting my left ear. Now I'm not getting anything. What the hell? Now I'm getting it all. Thank you. Okay, good.
Now, would you do the honors of introducing our lovely guest?
I certainly will. I'm going to introduce a longtime friend and political ally, Stephanie Bell, who has served on the Alabama State Board of Education for...
25 years.
Good God Almighty. I can't believe you stayed that long. But she's a stalwart for the conservative cause. She's done a great job. She's sometimes been the... Sort of yelling in the wilderness when you first got on there.
Well.
But it's changed a little. But now we have an amendment that's going to be on the ballot on March 3rd, which will take the Alabama State Board of Education from an elective body to being an appointed body. And the governor gets appointments. Does the speaker get one?
No, just the governor. And then the speaker and the Senate confirm those appointments, or they can deny those appointments. They can send it back to the governor. The same with the now what we call a state school superintendent. The governor would appoint, essentially, because the governor appoints the board. Obviously, if the board is appointed by the governor, then the governor has influence over who becomes state school superintendent solely.
Does she actually have a vote? Because isn't she?
Yes, she has a vote.
Isn't she the president of the?
Yes, she is.
Of the State Board of Education, yeah.
By virtue of her office.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So tell us why it's a bad idea. I mean, I would think that you would probably get appointed even if if the voters decide to adopt the amendment.
Well, you're kind, but certainly what we are looking at is a change in governance, not in individual in board members, and there's no guarantee that I would be appointed by any governor, including this one. The amendment, if passes, eliminates every member of that board immediately. And 50 years ago, the voters of Alabama, the people of Alabama, a majority, a solid majority, voted to change the State Board of Education from an appointed body to an elected body. That was a wise move. It was done with the push of former Governor Albert Brewer. He impaneled a group of individuals from all over the state in a study committee. The study committee reported back, and they had a special session, and the rest is history. So history, if we repeat history, I think it would be a bad thing for Alabama. I don't look at it from a personal standpoint, but I'm looking at it ahead, which is something that, unfortunately, too few in elected office do. They need to look at the future and the potential impact that it would have. It was intentional to allow people, the people who pay the bills, to have a voice in their representative. And if we have one governor, whoever the governor may be at the time, make those appointments with the confirmation of members of the Senate, led by a pro tem or lieutenant governor, all elected. However, they represent a certain constituency.
Yeah, now y'all broken down by congressional districts. It's loosely.
No, it was actually done intentionally because, you know, right now you're aware of the talk where we could lose a member of Congress. It was done intentionally because they were concerned that we would lose or we could add a member of the State Board of Congress, and so we would have to figure out a way to add or delete a member of the board. So they actually defined it according to districts. And the
how many districts are there?
We have eight.
Eight.
And mine has changed three times, as the census has dictated. So, and that has not been a problem. Obviously, part of the reason why I believe I'm reelected, and every time I go into an election, I realize it's not something I can control. It's something that must be controlled by the constituency. And that their voice matters to me. If they want to limit my term, then that's their call.
Yeah. Well, it's not like people that run for the state board can raise a bunch of money.
No.
it's not something people want to give money to.
Well,
whereas they will give money to somebody running for the Senate or the House.
Oh, sure.
Because they think that impacts them more than a state board seat.
Well, it depends on who it may be.
Oh, I know
because
that.
Because I've had to run against a $500,000 campaign and a $250,000 campaign, and I've had $40,000, and I thought that was an awful lot, especially for a job that after taxes we receive about $1,200 a month, and that's supposed to be, we don't have an office, we don't have any kind of real secretarial type or administrative type assistance. And so from that standpoint, you have to really want the job for all the right reasons, and that's the way it should be. I didn't know it paid anything, which is also a consideration. But I think what it does, it offers people an opportunity to have that voice, that representation, and that is crucial.
Well, what is the rationale? I remember you and I were talking off air. Texas did this in 1983. They passed a sweeping education reform bill known as House Bill 72. Hmm. And one of the provisions of House Bill 72 was that the entire State Board of Education in Texas would vacate their seats, and then the governor would appoint a new state board, but if they wanted to remain there, they had to run it the next election. He only did it for one term. That was to kind of clear the house.
And it
seemed to work, but this is going to be an ongoing thing. What's the rationale for taking a vote away from the people and giving it? Because I think Kay said something about we're trying to take the politics out of it. You never can take the politics out of politics.
No, and that was part of the discussion when they voted, when this committee recommended and the people voted to change from an appointed board to an elected board. And you're exactly right. Parca did, in fact, when I was doing a little bit of research in preparation, I just tried to get a little bit here and there from letters to the editor and also some research that had been done. Parca said the same thing, that you cannot take politics out of it, but you can take the representation away, and that's essentially what would be done in this particular case. And why, do you ask? Because education has this, now, they're being, they're discussing, and it's being proposed, a $7.5 billion with a B, dollar budget. It is the largest budget, and board members, and you know that I've been one of those, have caught some contracts that should never have been introduced. They have a way of writing contracts that are specific to certain vendors, and that's inappropriate because we have something called a bid law. But that there are ways, and we have seen them, and we have called them on that. They don't want
y'all
that.
Have a contract review committee like
no,
the legislature does?
No, the legislature controls the money. The legislature actually has been part of the problem in that process because we had a very successful reading initiative. You probably recall Texas, Massachusetts, Florida, other states came to Alabama to find out what we were doing because not only did it increase the results, the NAEP scores, the National Assessment of Educational Progress scores, but also, and more importantly, children were learning to read, and they were learning to read the right way because we did it based on research. The board took the lead on that. We've taken the lead on things like teacher background checks, then the legislature followed because they realized, hey, that's a good idea, and they did what we needed, and that was to extend it outside the state because there are limits with the state school board. We could require background checks, for example, within the state, but we needed their help. And that has not been there all the time. Unfortunately, more recently, that has been the case. Instead of supporting the board, helping us fund, for example, the programs that actually work, they've had projects that there was no empirical data to show that they would work. And I think it goes back to the word control. All of it. Money and control. There is a lot of danger in that. And again, I have to refer to the fact that it will not always be this governor. The way that this amendment is written, the way that it appears on the ballot is very deceptive, which should be a red flag.
They always word it. We were talking about that yesterday.
Goodness,
they
yes.
always word it and put flowers around it, and it sounds so good that you feel guilty about voting no. But listeners, on March 3rd, don't be afraid to vote no on Amendment 1.
Well, they must vote no if they want to continue to have a voice. And that, in education in particular, is extremely important, especially at this point in time.
Now, if, just to clear up any potential confusion out there, or maybe folks are new to paying attention to politics, like, as a board member for 25 years, mm-hmm. what is the basic responsibilities of a member of the board?
We oversee everything from curriculum to assessments, textbook purchases. We do hire a few within the department. We oversee teacher certification. We approve programs in the four-year colleges of education. We deal with safety issues. We provide intervention. Montgomery is a perfect example. Right. And it by law, we are certainly overseeing other programs that federal law, for example, with the school lunchroom program, we have certain oversight there. Sometimes money just flows through and we don't have those controls. Special education is a prime example, but we do have control over certain areas. We were the first to implement a program for dyslexia, And that is important.
Absolutely.
But that is just one example of many. I mentioned the background checks, how we took the lead on that, the reading, the courses of study, the standards. I could go on and on.
Sure. But it sounds like and the legislature hands y'all a budget, and sometimes they kind of tie your hands, it sounds like.
They do.
And,
yeah. They don't fund things that we've actually... We have to submit a request just like every other state department.
Yeah, and I'm reiterating Jack's question, but I'm trying to understand sort of the rationale behind, like, why... Because when you're removing the voice from the people, the people's input on this, how much would it actually change the day-to-day function of the board? And so if it doesn't change it that much, why would you remove people from the process?
Well, that's an excellent point, actually. And that's what... there's a study out of the College of William & Mary that says... There's no difference. And if you look at the states at the top of the National Assessment of Education Progress list, that's what the legislature is trying to use as justification as well. And you look at those at the bottom. I mentioned New Mexico, where they changed from an elected board to an appointed board, and the scores plummeted. They're down at the bottom of the list. They're right there with Alabama. But yet you look at the top of the list and you see a number of the elected boards in the middle because there are states like Nebraska, Colorado, Ohio, Texas, as mentioned. There are others that elect their board members, and they're very aggressive because they elect them. Kansas, right. I mean, we could, again, go down a list of those who actually elect. They try to minimize that. Another thing that they've mentioned about the board is that we've gone through a number of state school superintendents. Actually, that's not true. What they don't do is they don't add the top end. When, for example, Tommy Bice was first elected, they only start basically when he resigned. He resigned. We didn't ask him to. However, there were members of the legislature who expressed the fact that they were unhappy with the former superintendent. We had one in between, and now we have one who's on the job, so you can't put closure. You can't say that it's in the last however many years. They always say three out of the last five. It's just not true.
Well, and just getting down, it might come across as cynical politics, but Jack, you brought this up. It sounds like if you make this change, the governor appoints, it can be confirmed by the legislature, but it sounds like a power grab for the governor's office. It would be essentially an extension of the governor.
Well, I worry because she appointed Eddie Crowell to be the probate judge, and he was too old.
Yeah.
And then she appointed a woman to the Board of Registrars in Hale County who'd been convicted of voter fraud. So, I'm not sure I want her appointing people.
And let me be clear, and it's a point you've made, Stephanie. It's not just a power grab for Kay Ivey. It's like the governor's office in general. This would become more a fiefdom of the governor's office.
And the pro tem in the Senate, as well as the senators who want to... remain in good favor with the pro tem, because he has a really strong hand. And if you look at the vote in the legislature, there were some independents. They were independent of the leadership, Republicans and Democrats, who actually voted against it. And it seems to be now very popular for legislators to say, well, I'm going to vote against it. And I hope that they do, because I think that's crucial in terms of the future. But another example is that they don't tell you that this governor will have appointments that will be there for 6 years. And if we have a new governor after this governor's term, they are left with those individuals. And they, unless those people resign, there's no way to appoint. And if it fits into the next term, if this governor runs for the next term, then the next governor will be stuck with perhaps another group, because they're two 6-year terms limited to 12 total.
So they staggered it all. They won't.
No,
be,
they weren't. They're not staggered.
Is there any way?
Only if they resign and it happens that way. But
is there a way to remove somebody before that 6 years is up?
Well, there is an impeachment process. We've heard a lot about impeachment, and so I guess they could initiate that if the Senate, for example, ever wanted to remove someone and replace them. And I'm sure that the governor would could push them out, but it goes back to what many have already said, in that your loyalty as someone who sits on a board, it's human nature to be loyal to those individuals, if it happens to be an individual, those who appoint you. In my case, those who elect me. And they can choose to do the opposite, to say, it's time for you to go in the next election cycle. That is the way that it should be. And in the legislature, I noticed that they didn't do the same. They're not changing from it. I hope they don't change from an elected to an appointed. But we have legislators who've been there recently. One celebrated his 100th session. And he's been there for a while.
Was that Jabba?
Yes, that was Jabba.
He's been there like 42 years.
And for that
reason.
Too
damn long.
Well, and it's you know, the voters in his district keep reelecting him. But it's a double standard if you're saying that you're going to limit perhaps the most important, one of the most important functions in state government. And yet they're not looking at their own body. But it's easy to talk about another body, and they criticize the board, but the board functions well, and all you have to do is we invite the public. We want the public to come. I don't recall ever seeing any legislators. We've had an occasional legislator who comes in and may say, but maybe in 1 year we've had two.
Wow.
So
that's absurd. I mean, when I was a lobbyist for the Texas Association of Business, my field was public education.
Good.
Yeah, well,
it's frustrating.
I learned a lot.
It was
wretched. My worst, the thing I hated the most was going to the damn state board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't mind going to the legislature. I hated to testify. I had to do it a couple of times. But I hated going to those things. The textbook committee, those old women couldn't get along with each other. Because you had Mary Helen Berlanga, who's a big lib Democrat, a woman named Mary Perkins, who was kind of a blue dog. And they had a woman named Geraldine Tyntsy Miller. She was chair of the board. And she was a blue blood from Dallas. And, it was so funny. And it was just, but I couldn't stand doing it. I just couldn't stand it.
I'm sorry. There are days. It's very tedious.
Yeah. Do y'all have a lot of controversy with textbooks? Or
we have, actually. Because
that was a big deal in Texas.
Well, and I remember. And actually, Texas, because it's one of the two largest textbook markets, is a very important state. And they will submit everything in the world to Texas, hoping that they will grab at least some of it.
Right.
Because it's lucrative from a business standpoint. Those textbooks are very expensive.
Oh, I know.
In Alabama, they sort of know where we stand on textbooks, and often, unfortunately, they try to do the same with some very weak textbooks. Very, very weak. And to me, the content, for example, we had one where they couldn't even get the uniform correct, military uniform. And it's pretty easy. You just submit it to the military and say, will you check this and make sure? But they had dates wrong. They, I could just go down a long list of things that were incorrect. History textbooks, we need to look at it, because you understand they put a lot of pop culture because they think it's fun. But they forget real history.
Are you on the textbook committee?
No, we don't have the. We appoint a textbook committee by law. We actually appoint teachers and superintendents and people from higher education. So, and then they report to us. There's a long process that actually filters a lot of the poor quality and incorrect.
What are your thoughts about the No Child Left Behind legislation?
It was terrible. And I don't think there's anyone who thinks that it was wonderful. I don't care which party you're affiliated with, or whether you're a teacher or an administrator or a parent.
I hate to tell you this, but Margaret Spellings is a very good friend of mine.
And I like her. Actually, she said that No Child Left Behind.
Well, what she told me when she went up there, she worked for Bush when he was governor. She worked at Texas Association of School Boards.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at School Administrators. And so we were kind of like brother and sister organizations. So I worked and I knew her when I worked at the Republican Party of Texas. And so Margaret gets this job with Bush. She said, should I take this job with the governor? I said, well, you hate Ann Richards. You ought to do it. Because he was going to run against her. And he did, and he beat her. And so then he made her policy director at the White House, which is a big deal.
It is.
And then named her Secretary of Education. But she told me during all that process, she said, oh, God, we had to water this down so bad to get Kennedy and Jeffords to buy into it.
Right. And I would have to say it was more Kennedy than Jeffords, and not to say that either one was a great a great source, but it was definitely one that was passed, and we all know that it was actually the budget, what we call Elementary and Secondary Education Act. So it's just called No Child Left Behind. Now we have the Every Student Succeeds Act.
Yeah.
And there are problems with that as well. But it's part of that whole process, and that goes back to the federal government should not control, which goes back to the amendment, because it requires us to have that buy-in with the national standards. And that's what we've fought against. That's what, when I campaign, the one thing I hear about is that right now we call it Common Core, but people want to have very high standards, but they want to do what we did before with the Reading Initiative and what we did with math. We had what were considered to be the among the best math standards in the country, and then we had a superintendent who recommended Common Core because it was the thing to do at the time. It also was mandated eventually by the Obama administration, but that is a part of the problem with this amendment, is that not only are we giving up our opportunity to vote for our representative, but we also buy into something that most Alabamians don't want.
Stephanie, we need to hit a quick break here. Y'all listening to News and Views from 9 to noon. Stephanie Bell, member of the State Board of Education here in the house with us. Jack Campbell, Joey Clark, 272-9228. If you have any questions for Stephanie and for the whole team assembled here, I would love to take it. 272-9228. Brenda, Craig, y'all hold your positions. Be right back with you.
News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1. WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Goodson Group with your market update for the new year. First, it was a great year for us at the Goodson Group, and I want to thank our clients for making that possible. Second, the updated market report is out, and here it is. MLS tells us that there were over 6,700 sales in 2019. The average selling price for a home last year was $175,000. Houses in the River region sold faster last year than in previous years. Over 50% of the homes sold in the first 60 days. First-time homebuyers were the number one source of home sales for us and MLS as a whole. 40% of sales were to people who had never owned a home in the past. For a detailed report, call the Real Estate Source, the Goodson Group, 551-0225, or email me personally at bogoodson@charter.net. The Goodson Group, 551-0225.
Looking for that perfect Valentine gift that says, I love you? Here it is. BF Goodrich Tires. Hi, I'm Jared at Tire City. This Valentine's weekend, you can save up to 50% when you buy 4 BF Goodrich passenger or light truck tires at Tire City. It's only 2 days, February 14th and 15th. Say I love you and save 50% on BF Goodrich Tires at one of Tire City's 2 locations.
Right tires, expert service, Tire City.
You've been hearing a lot lately about the Poarch Creek Indians' billion-dollar plan for Alabama. Upon closer examination, that figure looks more like, fuzzy math. About a half of that billion won't go to the state at all. It will be spent by the tribe to build 2 new casinos, one in Birmingham and one in North Alabama. Those casinos will feature Las Vegas-style games like blackjack, craps, and roulette. But it will give the Poarch Creek a monopoly on gaming in the state, prohibiting any private sector competition. The Poarch Creek Plan, good for the tribe, a gamble for Alabama. Call 334-261-0500 and tell your representatives to say no dice to the Indians' plan. 261-0500. 261-0500. Paid for by McGreen Investments, LLC, Birmingham, Alabama.
This is Tracy Kelly with ASE Credit Union, and we like to advertise with Blue Water Broadcasting because of the flexibility of packages they offer and broad demographic reach of their stations.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon, 272-9228, 272-9228, especially if you have a question here for Stephanie Bell, member of the State Board of Education. We're talking about Amendment 1.
Or if you want to cuss her out, you know, feel free.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
No, that's okay, though.
Sure. You've been cussed out before,
I'm certainly. Sure. That's part of the job, but that's okay.
Before we go to the phones, though, let's tell folks about New Look Decorating.
Yes, we should.
Yes, the Benjamin Moore authorized New Look Decorating.
And that's some good paint, folks. I had a decorator in Austin that swore by it. She'd been decorating houses for years and years and said it's the best paint on the market, bar none. Anyway, New Look is at 6237 Atlanta Highway, where Bell Road dead ends to Atlanta Highway. They're right across the street there. It's owned by Brian Carr, who's the owner and operator, and Brett Lanham is like the manager and the paint specialist.
Yes.
For New Look. They have decorators on staff. If you're like me and have no taste and you need somebody to tell you what's going to look good on your wall, well, then they have people there that can make recommendations to you. And they save your paint choices so that if you have to come back sometime later to touch up, they'll have your records on file and they'll tell you, yeah, you had a number 117 green, and then you'll know which paint to get to do a touch-up. They're great folks. Their telephone number is 271-0007. That's 271-0007. They're on the Atlanta Highway, 6237. Go by and see what they got or give them a call and tell them that Joey and Jack from News and Views sent you.
Let's go to the phones real quick and let's talk to Brenda. She's been very patient. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Hey, Miss Bell, good to talk to you. I want to tell you thank you for the job that you do.
Thank you, Brenda.
I'm a high school teacher, and I have a heart for dropouts, so just know that.
That's
where
crucial.
My question's coming into, because I work with them.
Thank you.
The third graders with the Reading Initiative. It's great. It's wonderful. We do need them to read. And if they can't read on level, we're sending them on or whatever. And my heart is with high school, of course. So, but when they get to be in the ninth grade and they're 17 and they fail two grades, they drop out. So what is y'all's plan for kids who can't read on third grade level? You can hold them back. And then when we get them, they don't want to be, they're too old to be there and they don't want to be there. So.
Now
that's my question.
And that's an excellent question, and I appreciate all that you're doing. It is so important. I don't have to tell you that. It's important in so many different ways. And above all, you're helping young people hopefully flourish. And our goal right now is to provide those opportunities. We listen to teachers. We listen to those parents who have children, young people who are struggling. We have to provide those opportunities to learn to read at every grade level. We forget, as you've pointed out, that it continues if you allow children to move through the system, and that's sadly what happens. And that's something often that happens at the local level because they have classrooms that too many children, and that's not a good reason. We are taking a very strong stand at the board level to hopefully combat that. We will need the support from the legislature for the proper funding. The investment that you make in providing the tools for you will provide more than in terms of money, trying to keep them out of the criminal justice system, all of those things that are so costly. But, but foremost, you save a child's life, and you point them in the right direction. So that's what we're doing. We're focusing on that area in particular, the reading, but also hopefully providing other opportunities. And we're listening to teachers like you to open doors.
Well, I just ask that y'all would put not a fail safe, but, you know, something in place so that if they do fail the third grade, that we don't have a we took a group of eighth graders who were too old and looked back at their educational, you know, their CUM folders, and they had failed two grades, and they were 17 in the ninth grade, and every one of them failed out, dropped out. So are we looking, are y'all looking at Mississippi at what they've done with their reading, considering that they made so many gains last year?
Yes, and I've actually served at the national level on several committees, and I continue to serve, actually, with the current state school superintendent and now former governor in Mississippi. And it has been enlightening. We also awarded, with this national organization, we awarded Mississippi special recognition because of the work that they're doing. They did it over a period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. I wish it could. But if you do it the right way, and strategically, you know, those middle grades, as you know, are crucial, and every state seems to be missing those opportunities. But yes, we've looked at Mississippi, we've looked at other states where that is happening. However, Alabama, like every other state, is unique, and it's important that we deal with it based on recommendations from, again, teachers like you, but we look at models as we do that. And you've mentioned Mississippi. Mississippi is a model.
Yeah, I just appreciate y'all's attention to the reading, because every child that we get with RTI that, you know, either tested with dyslexia or they have an undiagnosed reading problem that from early on, I'm sure, and then they get to, you know, at ninth grade, and they have to be there. I mean, they, you know, until they turn 17, they can't drop out. But if they had been called earlier, it would sure make it would save some heartache. So I thank you for your work on what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brenda, for your call.
Yes,
we appreciate
you, Brenda.
It.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it, Brenda.
And I do want to point out before we move on that the State Board of Education took the lead in addressing problems with dyslexia. We listened to those parents, teachers, those experts in the area, and we took the lead. We needed some help from the legislature in terms of just providing, and it didn't require a lot of funding, because the kids that we were able to find that actually work are not that expensive, and we have the expertise. We have a lot of people who are willing to volunteer. We have to have buy-in at the local level. We've had that, but we also need the support from other areas.
When I worked one session of the Texas legislature in 1985 after serving at the state party the year of 84, and the guy who hired me is a guy named Bill Hammond, who later hired me 15 years later to come work for him at the Texas Association of Business. Bill had Tyncy Miller come to his office, the blue blood from Dallas, because he was a representative from Dallas, and she was jumping up and down about how the Scottish Rite Hospital had done wonders with screening kids for dyslexia.
They have for many years.
And Bill actually got a bill passed that screened every, like, first grader for dyslexia before they entered school.
And it's not that expensive.
No, it wasn't.
Even the training for the teachers.
But it was a big deal back then.
And it really is a big deal. It still is a big deal. And we need to have the support of our state school superintendent as well to help push it. The board is 100% behind it, and we have already passed some requirements. We just need to have some help in implementing that.
Got to hit another break here. Listen to News and Views from 9 till noon, 272-9228 if you want to get in and have a question for Stephanie Bell. This hour of News and Views, once again, folks, brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender. More News and Views when we come back.
to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
The Porch Creek Indians can bring Alabama $1 billion. Funding education, better roads, job growth, without raising taxes. Don't let opportunity pass. This is your state, your decision, your moment. Don't settle for less. How can $1 billion shape our future? Speak up now at winningforalabama.com. Paid for by the Porch Band of Creek Indians.
This report. Stocks are losing ground. Investors continue to be concerned about the coronavirus and how it could impact the global economy. Though the job market was stronger than expected last month, employers added 225,000 new jobs in January. The unemployment rate rose slightly to 3.6%, though that reflects more people looking for work. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow is pleased with the results.
I just think that the economy is getting off on the right foot here in 2020. And, you know, we got headwinds. We have to worry about the coronavirus. I understand that. We have a Boeing problem. But I think we're in very strong territory right now.
Uber says it will be profitable by the end of this year. That is sooner than expected. Its stock is up nearly 7%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosella, invested in you.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means the prescription medication to treat ED is super affordable at 4hims.com. And now get your first online doctor's visit free at 4hims.com. That's right. Zero copay, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. That's really good news. To start your free online visit, go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's FORHIMS.com/joy.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking.
Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call him today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. What an incredible change we've had in 24 hours. Breezy, much colder today, a brisk day. High temperature may not make 50 degrees. We may make the upper 40s. West winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour will make it seem a lot colder, though. Then partly cloudy, chilly tonight. Overnight low temperature down to about 38. Tomorrow, our high will reach the low 60s. Can't rule out an isolated afternoon and evening shower somewhere, but most of us stay dry. Sunday is beautiful. Really nice. High in the upper 60s. Lots of sun. Sunshine. Then more rain Monday with a high near 70 and periods of rain and thunderstorms much of next week. We could see significant rainfall totals again. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Are you strapped for cash but need a car right now? No problem. Get an auto loan from ASE and make no payment for 90 days. Apply online or visit a branch today. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Terms and conditions apply. Equal opportunity lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. Again, this part of the program, this whole hour, brought to you by Alabama Home Mortgage. Ken Williams and the whole team over there doing an amazing job. Whether you're a first-time home buyer and you're a little scared of the process, well, that's why you need to go directly to Ken Williams and Alabama Home Mortgage. Don't let your ignorance of the process be a hurdle from you owning your own home. And that's what they specialize in, along with helping out veterans here in the River Region, getting those VA home loans that you earned through your service. They've made that process quick, easy, simple. They're up to date on the latest VA home loans and benefits, as well as those of you looking to relieve some debt and financial money stress out there. They can help you refinance that mortgage. whether it's getting a lower monthly rate, skipping a couple payments, they can really help you out at Alabama
Home Mortgage. They save people like $400, $500, $600 a month.
It's amazing
when they rework it, you know, and get a better interest
rate. But you won't know what exactly they can do for you until you call, and they can talk to you about your current situation. It's always unique to you and your situation. 567-4223, 567-4223, on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com, NMLS number 1586368. Of course, they're an equal housing lender. So
we have a caller that's been holding on.
Yeah, let's go to Craig. Craig, thank you for being patient. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. First of all, this whole even you have to come on here is really ridiculous, because if you want to see how bad the governors, not just Governor Ivey, governors' appointments have worked, look how ADOC has worked out. That's a mess. I got a question, though. What is the proposal going around the worldwide interweb about increasing the school day and starting school later and forcing kids and teachers and everybody to be stuck there even longer during the day?
That's the legislature. Uh-oh. That is a proposed piece of legislation, and I've had a number of calls from as far away as Huntsville and Mobile, yeah. And they're not even in my school board district, but certainly listen. And I always say, you need to call your legislator, because that is coming from the legislature.
So this is the same group that thinks that we need to turn all this over to Governor Ivey that's proposing this stuff, too.
Yes, you're correct. You're absolutely correct.
It makes no sense to me. But thank you for your service to our kids and state. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you so much.
I remember that was a big deal in Texas, too, because the school start date, it was different in the valley. Mm-hmm. Down on the border, because all the migrant workers.
Exactly.
And they had their kids, and so and it was like the harvesting season, so it was they always had to start later. Oh, it was a big deal. Got it. And nobody could agree. Oh, I shudder thinking about that six-year experience I had lobbying on public education issues.
You learn a lot.
I did learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Shag. Hey, Shag. Welcome to the
program. Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Hey, Shag. I'm doing well. Good to talk with you.
Good. What I wanted to do is back up what you said about not allowing the bureaucracy of Montgomery to be involved, because Betty Peters appointed me, and I was on the ESSA committee for the implementation in Alabama.
Yes, I remember. Thank you for your service on that committee.
And the thing of it is, we broke up into subcommittees to submit to the Department of Education our recommendations. Well, they called us in, we went in, and they gave us a preliminary report of what they were going to send to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of the committees said, hey, that's not what we recommended. That's not what we recommended. So they called it, well, maybe this is the preliminary of the preliminary. We never had another meeting, nothing in the bureaucracy of the Department of Education. I know you won't say anything negative.
Oh, no, I will when it's appropriate, and I have certainly said many negative things, but let me make it very clear. This is actually part of the problem with this amendment, because it was the governor's office. All the board members were asked to do is to submit two names, but we really did not control it. The department actually did not control it. It was all controlled, even though it looked like it was the department. It was actually controlled by the governor's office. And it was pretty much, and we had this discussion with, internally with members, people who work in the department, members of the board, that it was likely already written before we were even asked to submit names. I submitted two names.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So that's part of what I'm concerned about. I'm sure Betty, who has taken a position opposing Amendment 1 as well, is certainly concerned about the same thing. This is just one concern. But you have just shown, again, an example of why this is a bad idea, and people need to vote no on Amendment 1.
Yeah, I talked to Betty last week, and she's pushing it and going places, and I'm telling people it's just a real bad idea to give the bureaucracy, no matter whether it's a Democrat, Republican, or whatever, to give them that authority.
Absolutely. but it's a no vote. And when we push no, we mean absolutely no. So please vote no on Amendment 1. So,
oh, everyone should.
Thank you, Shag. I appreciate your input. That's a perfect example of the problems that we will face.
Yes, thank you, Stephanie, and take care.
And thank you. Take care, Shag. Always good to talk with you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shag. Appreciate the call. Great call. One last break, then we'll come back, wrap this up. Really appreciate you being here today, Stephanie. Your wealth of information.
Thank you.
Your years of service shows. So.
Well, thank you very much. I always listen.
Do your fellow, I know we got to leave, do your fellow members support the appointed board?
No. They
None
absolutely
of them?
Oppose Amendment 1.
Well, yeah, because they had to run for it, and for one.
Well, right.
But
several are right in the middle of their first term.
Well, you know what I find real interesting about people, and they're very passionate. Education people are.
Yes.
Now, some of them are right, some of them are wrong, but they're all passionate.
And we should be.
Yeah.
There you go. 272-9228. One last quick break, only like a 2-minute break here. Be right back. More news and views from 9 to noon. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, Stephanie Bell in the house. Be right back.
On Frivolous Friday.
Indeed.
This is what they will.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Most of us love to make buying decisions based on referrals from others. We've built our company on the compliments and referrals of our great customers. Hi, this is Terry for Weedman Lawn Care of Montgomery. Our golf course quality timed-release products feed lawns for months, not days. We make your yard greener, thicker, more kid-friendly. Strive to be weed-free and do so with an environmentally sound approach to lawn care. But more importantly, you might want to hear what others say about their experience with us. Carlos C. says, Weedman prices for service are very competitive. The difference is you get the best service in the area. I highly recommend you call and get a quote from Weedman. Thanks, Carlos. Weedman is recommended by landscapers, golf course superintendents, and people like Chara S., who gushes. Weedman is very professional, timely, courteous, knowledgeable. I could keep going, but you get the point. I've used other lawn care services, but Weedman exceeds them all. That's quite a compliment. Go to WeedmanUSA.com for a free quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Go to WeedmanUSA.com. Today.
You've been hearing a lot lately about the Poarch Creek Indians' billion-dollar plan for Alabama. Upon closer examination, that figure looks more like, fuzzy math. About a half of that billion won't go to the state at all. It will be spent by the tribe to build two new casinos, one in Birmingham and one in North Alabama. Those casinos will feature Las Vegas-style games like blackjack, craps, and roulette. But it will give the Poarch Creek a monopoly on gaming in the state, prohibiting any private sector competition. The Poarch Creek Plan. Good for the tribe. A gamble for Alabama. Call 334-261-0500 and tell your representatives to say no dice to the Indians' plan. 261-0500. 261-0500. Paid for by McGreen Investments, LLC, Birmingham, Alabama.
A highly placed politician talks about the Health and Wealth Show.
Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
The Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon, 272-9228, 272-9228 if you want to get in. Again, this part of the program brought to you by Dan Black Studios. Not only can you get 50% off Valentine's special.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. If you're a News and Views listener, when you call 279-6036, 279-6036, you get 50% off all video transfers, not including films. It's a great deal. Dan Black Studios also provide business services from website design, video editing, training video, production, television, commercial production, anything to do with video services, you should be thinking Dan Black Studios. Again, their number, 279-6036. Really appreciate Dan Black and the team being a great sponsor. So, We have somebody here on line two.
Betty Peters has called in, and I cannot imagine what she wants to talk about. Hi, Betty.
I think she's opposed to Amendment 1.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Betty.
Stephanie, I just had a call that Shag had been on the phone with you, and I wanted to thank you for holding down the fort about Amendment 1. And if you've already discussed this, let me know, because you may already have. I don't know.
Well, let me say one more thing before you move on, because I think people need to know. I appreciate your work in helping to present the resolution to the Republican Executive Committee. And the Republican Executive Committee, as you know, thanks to your work, has taken a position opposing Amendment 1, and they are telling members of the Republican Party and really Alabama to vote no on Amendment 1. So thank you for your work on that. But go ahead. I apologize.
Well, what I want to ask has to do with Amendment 1. I've been reading and hearing, and people have been asking me, won't a passing Amendment 1, won't it get rid of Common Core? And I say, no, not for my interpretation of it. Has that been discussed this morning? And would you talk about it? Because you're right up there in Montgomery, and you've probably heard more about it. But, last December, you know, I was up there when y'all, not you, thank goodness, you were on the right side, but about the math, you know, the math is, the new math is the old math.
Right, and the governor.
Would you, if you haven't already talked about it, would you explain how Amendment 1 is not going to get rid of Common Core or anything with a new name that's still Common Core?
Absolutely, and I appreciate your mentioning that because, as you already know and you've pointed out over and over, that the proposed statewide amendment number one, as they call it, language on every ballot in this state is actually very deceptive. It does not present the overall content of what was actually passed by the legislature, which requires, and I'm reading from it, a course of study standards that ensure nationwide consistency in. And then it says, in a seamless transfer of students from within and outside of the state, it has a comprehensive requirement for a comprehensive educator certification program, a comprehensive professional development program for educators, a comprehensive assessment system, a comprehensive accountability system, also known basically as Common Core. And the governor indicated that she would continue to support Common Core because she voted for the math course of study, which was obviously, clearly, the same math of course of study, as you know, that contains Common Core. When you put them side by side, and I know you do the same, always challenge people, look at it for yourself. Look at what was actually passed, in this case, by the legislature for Amendment 1, which is crazy to put those requirements in your state's constitution. You're required to follow that mandate, even though that is not what appears on the ballot. What appears on the ballot, again, is very deceptive. It has a snippet that the legislature put in the actual bill that was passed for the constitutional amendment, and it, when you read it, it doesn't tell you everything that we've talked about, including what I just read from